All right, if you guys will, get your Bibles, and if you guys can, we'll go to Isaiah 11 and Ephesians chapter 6. Isaiah 11 and Ephesians 6. It's always a nice feeling when getting a sermon ready and then you come in and the first two songs are kind of on theme. It may not be as much of a blessing to you, but it sure is to me. All right. Ephesians chapter 6 and in Isaiah 11. We'll start in Isaiah 11. This will kind of get us close to the theme. This was kind of what spurred everything for me. But in Isaiah 11, it says in verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and righteousness the girdle of his reins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Wow, sorry guys. If you will, now we'll go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in class, we've been going through the whole armor of God, and so this kind of tied into it. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says this. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Father, we just come before you tonight, and we're just grateful to be here, Lord, and we're honored to be able to sit here and have you amongst us, Lord. And we pray that everything that is done and said here tonight will exalt you, Father. We'll lift you up and give you glory. I pray now for the message that you would just use it, Lord. The jumbled thoughts that are on paper here, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to come out in a form that you can use, Lord. And we just, again, we ask that you come and meet among us tonight, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I kind of like to focus. You probably guess from our first passage in Isaiah, I like to focus on verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And so I'd like to talk about, that's kind of the first piece of armor, as you would call it, for the Christian armament, and what he is supposed to put on. See if I can make this introduction make sense here. I was trying to form one, and if I can get a good introduction, then things will go okay, but if I can't get a good introduction, you guys are in trouble. I guess the first thing to explain is it says that you're supposed to have your loins girt about with truth. Now, I guess that could take a little bit of explanation. You have your loins. Your loins are supposed to be from about the bottom of your rib cage to your upper hip, and that's, I guess, what you could call in modern lingo kind of your core. Your loins, you have, I think you had like 29 some odd muscles in that area. And one thing it does is it helps stabilize your spine. It's a protective piece. It's not an armor in such a way as you have the breastplate or you have your feet shod, you have a shield of faith. So in that way, it's kind of an odd piece of armor, but it's something that goes. That's the first thing you put on. And it's in that way, it's something good for us to look at, because really when it comes down to it, when you strip off all of the armor of a Christian, the first thing you should have on is the truth, right? That is what he should have when a Christian goes out. What should he have? He should have the truth, right? When the Christian walks and wherever he goes and whatever he does, he should have the truth. Now, they said that when a soldier in the olden days, when he got wounded, if you would call it in his loins, that was very dangerous because most likely he was going to die. It was very hard to save that man. They said that if a man got gut shot, it was hard. He most likely he was going to die. The infection would send it and all that stuff. His insides would break open, and of course you have all that, and it wasn't good. And so they had something there to protect their loins. And so this girdle of truth, it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. We can talk about the truth for a minute. We could talk about what the truth means for us, right? Without the truth, we don't have anything. Now, of course, the truth for the Christian, the way that he gets his truth is through the Bible. That's obviously very clear. So let's talk about this. The girdle, right? You have this girdle, and it's protecting his loins. But as I mentioned, it brings him stability, and I guess that's kind of what I want to focus on tonight. And so the title of my message is "A Girdle for Stability." And the Lord kind of took this message, and at first I thought it was going to be a lesson and a little more teaching, and then it kind of turned into a sermon here. But what does a girdle do? Well, a girdle, if you look at, I guess, modern weightlifters today, you have men that they'll put a big belt on, right? And it allows them to lift more than they would normally not be able to lift, right? It gives support to the back. You have deadlifters, they wear these special suits. You have bench pressers, they wear special vests, I guess you could say. Let's see, what was it? I think the world record deadlift was 1,104 pounds and a half, I think, somewhere in there. But a man can't generally do that by himself, right? I mean, these guys would have never done that unless they had on what? A girdle, right? And so they would put that on, and it allows them to do something they would generally not be able to do. So as a Christian, we wear a girdle of truth. Why? To help us do something we generally wouldn't be able to do by ourselves. But it gives great stability. Look at verse 10. What does Paul say? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we could go through all of the armor. We won't for the sake of time tonight. But the first thing he says to put on is to gird about your loins with truth. Man is a very feeble creature, right? In Ecclesiastes, Solomon says what? Man at his best state is altogether vanity, right? So man is very weak, and he can't do much unless the Lord intervenes and does something for him. And so he says, okay, I've got something for you. I need you to put this on. It's a girdle, and it's going to be truth, and you need to wear that. And so for us, our greatest support system as a Christian that we have is what? It's truth. It's the Bible, That's how we get by, right? That's how we live. That's how we should live. Let's see. If you will, go to Psalm 38. Go to Psalm 38. So without the truth, we don't have much. In fact, we really don't have anything at all. Psalm 38. Psalm 38, look what David says about himself, and I'm just going to make this a general application to man or to a Christian. Look what David says in verse 3. He says, "There is no soundness in my flesh. Because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the quietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me." And so David, we can kind of take that as, I guess, as an explanation for man in general, and really that's us. That is us without the truth. Yeah, we could put all of this armor on that we want, right? We could put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we can put all these things on, but if we don't go out with truth, then what do we really have? Nothing. I'm trying not to say My brother-in-law tells me I say a lot. David. And it's hard not to say when you're trying not to say All right, so if you will, go to Psalms 100. Go to Psalms 100. So we see man's state. We see what he is. We see how weak he is. And look what it says here in Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5, it says this, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So what does the Lord do? Well, the Lord looks at man, and he goes, "Man, you're pitiful. Man, you're not very strong." And it says here that his truth endureth to all generations. If you will, go to 117. Go to 117, verse 2. Go to 117, verse 2. It says this. Verse 1, "O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." So he creates this thing that we can put on, this thing that we can take with us. And it's something that can go through anything. It's something that has endured all generations. It is something that will endure all generations. And he says, "Here, put this on." Why? Because of the loathsome disease that you have, your weakness, and all of that. He says, "Hey, this is what I'm going to give you, and this is what you need to put on." This is, I guess, we could get into it. I don't know if you'd say, "Oh, this is the most important thing," but the truth is the most important thing to the Christian. So he gives us a girdle. He says, "Hey, put this on. It's a girdle of truth." And I don't know about you, but it seems like it would be something that we could trust. And so I'd like to talk about a girdle for stability. And so he gives us this girdle so that we can be stable in some things and be stable in our Christian life. And some of these you could probably kind of mix and match and kind of mesh them together, but we're just going to keep them separate for sake of the message. But just to start off, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is kind of an obvious one, but it's very needful. I don't know what I told you guys to turn to, but I'm turning to 1 Peter chapter 1. I hope that's what I told you. 1 Peter chapter 1. Did I say Corinthians? I don't know what I said. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look what it says in verse 13. It says this. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, hey, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. And I'd like to say that we need a girdle for our loins. What we need a girdle of truth to what? To bring stability to our mind. We need to have stable minds. The world is going crazy. It has been going crazy, and it is crazy. And we should not be like that. As a Christian, we should have a mind that is stable. And again, man is naturally unstable. Man is not a stable creature. The Christian's mind, a person who is saved, a Christian, does not naturally have a stable mind. If there's any reason to have a girdle, it is what? To have a sane, stable mind. In James chapter 1, what does it say? It says, actually just turn there, it's just one book, let's go there. James chapter 1, you guys can quote this verse, but what does it say? It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's, what is it? It's a schizophrenic. It's somebody with two personalities, right? And I know right now you're thinking, yay, somebody finally understands me, right? but listen, you had two schizophrenics, and they walked into an elevator, and the one looked at the other and said, man, I think I'm going crazy today. And the other one says, that's four of us. But it's, man, is his mind is, you have this thing, a Christian, a man gets saved, and what happens? He gets a new mind, right? But he still has the old one. So he has this war going on in his head of different things. And Paul talks about it. Go to Romans chapter 8. Paul very clearly talks about this. And this is where man's problem lies. This is where a Christian's problem lies. In chapter 8, what does it say in verse 5? It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's possible for a Christian to have a carnal mind. And so there's this war going on, right? There's a war in your mind, and it's a battle for your mind. And you have the old man saying, let's do this. And the Spirit is saying, no, let's do this. And you're unstable, right? And if you listen to both of those voices and you allow both of them to go, it's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know. What do I do, right? And you're unstable. Go to Romans chapter 7. Go to Romans chapter 7, verse 21. You guys know the passage well, but Paul says, I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And so Paul exhorts us because of this. You know, I imagine as Paul's writing these things out and the Lord is giving him light on things, and all of a sudden he's writing down Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, listen, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. And I wonder if Paul kind of flashes back and Romans 7 pops up and he goes, boy, do I need that. And that's what a Christian needs. Why? Because he needs to have a stable mind. He needs to have stability brought to his mind. A man is a fool to think that he doesn't need that book. A Christian won't be very stable if he doesn't have that book. And if he thinks otherwise, he is a fool. That book needs to be the boundaries for your mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says, bringing into captivity, what? Every thought. You need to have that book stabilize your mind, and it needs to control what you think, and it needs to control how you think, and where your mind goes. And that book, again, it needs to be the boundaries to stop you from going a little bit farther. That's what that book needs to be. And so he says, hey, listen, I've got a girdle for you. I need you to put this girdle on and wear this thing, and it'll protect you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says. In verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Go to chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. See, it's in their minds. And they're serving the law of the flesh in their minds, and they're just thinking whatever they want, and they don't have any boundaries for their mind. And the Lord says, you need to have boundaries. There need to be places that you don't go. You don't have any business going with your mind. And if you don't have that girdle of truth, what's to stop you from going there? What stops you? Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, man's mind is just naturally twisted. It's naturally messed up. It's corrupt. Man's mind is weak. It's not dependable. It's unstable. And so Paul says, stand therefore, what? Having your loins girt about with truth. Why? So that you can have stability in your mind. And listen, the longer you go with turning that book away in the mornings, the longer you go where you don't pick that book up, what do you do to your mind? You push away that stability. You say, I don't need that. And yes, you do. You do need that stability. There's a guy that, I don't remember his name, but there's where I was working out in Florida, it's called All Sports, and there was this guy. So it was, just for those of you that don't know, he's a fab shop. We made golf cart accessory parts, and so we had a weld shop and a fab shop, and then we had a part cleaning area, and then we would powder coat, and then we would assemble everything and all that. Well, there was this guy there, and he was a welder. He actually worked with David some, and this guy is a very good welder, and the guy could do a lot of stuff, but he had issues with his mind. And so these people that owned it, they couldn't depend on the guy. I mean, the guy did great work, but they couldn't depend on his work, right? He was unstable mentally, and he was in and out of mental hospitals and stuff like that, but His unstable mind began to affect his work. And a Christian needs to have a stable mind. He needs to have a stable mind. Now, if you can, go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. So you need to have a stable mind. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 20. It says this, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and what? Serve him in truth with all your hearts, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Something else that a Christian needs to have at the end of verse 23, it says, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That's 23. I want verse 24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your hearts. So again, it's serving him in truth. And something that this girdle of truth will do is it will bring you stability in your service. Your service for the Lord has to have stability. He says, only fear the Lord and serve him, what? In truth. Why? Because if you're not serving him in truth, you're leaving room for error there. Right? You put the book down and things like that. And yes, this is geared very heavily towards reading your Bible and being in your Bible. Because this is the source of all truth. This is what a Christian needs to go to. And a Christian needs to have stability in his service. Have you ever met a Christian who's unstable in his service? Have you ever been around them? I mean, man, when they're on fire for the Lord, they're exciting to be around. There's some people that I've been around growing up and in school. There was one guy that was just, when he was on fire, he was on fire. His service, I mean, it just, the guy encouraged me to do some things, but he didn't have any stability in his service. It was like he was there and boy, he was going to rip your head off and then he's not there. And it's just like right around the time where you get used to seeing him around and he's in the front and he's amen and everything and he's having a good time and all of a sudden, he's gone. It's just like, where did he go? Well, there's no stability in his service. There's no stability. A Christian needs to have stability in his service. Now, without it, without the stability in his service, you know what he does? He builds a reputation. He builds a reputation of being unfaithful, unreliable, unstable, weak, undependable. And I don't know, I hope not, but is that your service? Is that your service to the Lord? Is that, and again, it's not all what people see, I understand that, but that is what, is that what people see? It's just kind of an unreliable service. It shouldn't be that way. I wonder if you've taken for granted this piece of armor's importance. And it's easy to do. And sometimes it's a good reminder to go through these things and get preached at about it and just be like, oh yeah, that is really important. You know, I need to kind of redouble my effort, get back into it. And sometimes that's all it is. And the Lord knows that. I mean, Paul says, I stir up your pure minds, what? By way of remembrance. Just reminding you. And if that's all this is tonight, then hey, great. I mean, it's a good reminder for me to sit here and remember, no, wait, this is important. And listen, there were times where, no, I wasn't having a mental breakdown or anything like that, but it was like, ah, Lord, I really need something today. And what do? You just get that little bit of stability and just a little bit of rearmament, and it provides stability for what? For the core of your muscles, for things that allows you, it takes you places, right? It involves your hips and things like that. It involves your movement. It involves everything that you do. A Christian needs to have stability in his service. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Are you stable? Can the Lord, can he depend on you? Can he trust you? Can other people around you trust you? What kind of reputation do you have? I'm sorry, I know I said that last time I preached, but that's just kind of found its way back in here. Chapter 24, look at what it says in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him, what? In sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, it says, we will serve the Lord. What is this? This is, and in some ways, I actually don't like to phrase it this way. I couldn't figure out another way to say it because it seems to kind of downplay the seriousness of the situation. But listen, their service here, what does it become? It becomes sidetracked with something else. And I really don't. I feel uncomfortable putting it that way because they're serving other gods and that's wicked. But you know what? Sometimes as Christians, our service can just kind of be sidetracked by other things. Even if it's just the affairs of this life. Things that you have to take care of. But through this, what do? You become, if you're not careful, you become unstable. You were to go into your bedroom at night, get ready for bed, take those clothes off, and by the time you get down to it, there is no girdle of truth there. There's nothing there. You weren't walking around with that truth that day. Christian needs to have that girdle on. He needs to have that. Nadab and Abihu, what did they do? They compromised their service. What did they say? Any fire will do. Any fire will do. It doesn't matter. Let's just get this thing going. No, you compromise your service. If a Christian's not careful, you know what he'll do? He'll compromise his service. He'll compromise his service. Their service became so twisted that God couldn't use it. God wouldn't use it. He said no. And they lost their lives because of it. I'm not here saying that you're going to lose your life because of it, but listen, there may come a point where the Lord says, look, I'm not using you anymore until you get this thing figured out. There's another guy I worked with, and his name was Kevin. I remember that guy's name. I don't know his last name, but I remember him. And this guy also, he's a great worker. He was really fast. One of the things that we would make brush guards, because a lot of people would, down south, they would use their golf carts, and one guy was a handicap. He put like this hoist on it so he could shoot deers, and then he could reach down, pick up the deer and hoist it up. He had this whole thing rigged out and all that, so we made brush guards. And this guy could make brush guards like nobody else. I mean, this guy could weld them up. This guy knew how to do everything. He could work in the fab shop. He could work in where the guy that worked in the chrome area and got everything shiny and pretty and all that. But you know what? They couldn't depend on him. Because he had no stability in his work. This guy was so good that they would just actually let him come and go. Like whenever they didn't hear from him again, they're just like, okay. And then he'd show up again like 3 months later or a year later, and he'd be like, okay, great, Kevin's back. You know, I was like, okay, put him out there, you know. But they could never fully depend on him because he's real wishy-washy. They couldn't depend on him. And listen, without this girdle of truth, without you putting on this girdle of truth, you will never have stable service for the Lord. At some point, you say, well, you know, I could do this, and you know, I can do that. And yeah, you could pull it off for a little while, right? You could pull it off for a little while. But pretty soon that armor is going to start showing cracks in it. And it's going to show. It's going to show. And nobody may sit there, and we're not going to sit there and laugh and say, oh, you know, we knew that guy was a fake. No, it's actually going to be real sad. But listen, this, I don't know, Christians, what do? They just think this is just, yeah, they respect the book, right? Yeah, we use it every Sunday. We use it all in church, you know. So I'm not like downgrading the book, but it's just a book. No, it's not. It's not just a book. It's not just a book. It's something you put on and you wear. It's something that you bring with you. And so listen, you need to have stability in your service. A Christian needs stability in his mind, and he needs it in his service. If you will, go to Psalms 26. We'll look at another one quick. Psalms 26. Psalm 26, look what it says in verse 1. It says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. A Christian needs to have stability in his walk. He needs to have stability in his walk. Chapter 86. Chapter 86. Chapter 86, verse 11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. A Christian needs to have a walk that is stable. These Roman soldiers, they would put all this armor on. And you know what? Listen, something that they had to have was they had to have stable feet. Now, that's obviously getting to another part of the armor that we're not really going to go into. But a Christian has to have a stable walk. I'm going to read this verse real quick. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it says this. It says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning." You know, before the children of Israel went off into the wilderness, you know what they were told to do? They were told to have their loins girded. They were told to have their shoes on. And they were supposed to eat that meal in haste. Why? Because pretty soon they were getting out. But you know what that shows? It shows a readiness to move. A Christian that is not wearing the girdle of truth, he's not ready to move. He's not ready to walk. He's not ready to move. He's not ready to go do this. He's not ready. And it's not, there's no stability in that walk. Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 verse 8 says this, "For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings, and I will direct their work in truth and will make an everlasting covenant with them." That I actually got wrong. That does not have the word walk in there. But I guess even so, you need the Lord to direct that. You need the Lord to direct your work. You need Him to direct your walk. I'm going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Listen, you walk as a Christian for long enough without the truth, and you know what you do? You know what will happen? That walk that you have, that walk will become compromised. That walk will become compromised. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue His word, which He spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said He, a man on the throne of Israel." Now, I know we don't have the promises of Israel, but look what that says. Look what that promise is. If they just walk in truth with all their heart and with all of their soul, look what the promises that they have. So therefore, we can draw a conclusion from this that why isn't there a man on the throne of Israel right now? Because they didn't do this. What does it mean to you? What is you walking in the truth? What does that mean to you? To some people, it really doesn't mean that much. To some people, it means something when they need it, right? That when they need it, then they'll. But it, yeah, I mean, yeah, you can go back home and you can put it on, but it's never as easy as it sounds, though. It's never as easy as it sounds. Listen, if you will, sorry guys, a lot of turning, but if you will, go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Talk about a walk with no truth. What does it turn into? Well, here's a good example of it. 1 John chapter 1, look what it says in verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and what? Walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. This is the life without a book. This is the life without a girdle of truth." What is it? It's just walking in darkness. A Christian tries to make a decision, and what is the decision made in? Darkness. There is no book. There is no light. Right? What does it become? The footing is unsure. You can't walk confidently in the dark. You just can't do it. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you got to go to the bathroom, you don't turn the light on, what do? You just kind of walk slowly and you're feeling around, right? Why? Because you don't want to break your toe, right? But the walk, all of a sudden, it does. It becomes unstable, and sometimes it's stumbling and you don't know where you're at, or you think you know where you're at, but since you don't have any light, you actually don't know where you're at. What did the young prophet in 1 Kings do? He went in like the Lord said. He preached, he prophesied to Jeremiah. He got to see a great miracle as Jeremiah reached out his hand and that hand dried up. And Jeroboam said, "Entreat the Lord for my hand." And that hand was restored. And then that prophet got up and left. And what did he do? Well, he stopped walking. What did he do? He compromised his walk. Are you compromising your walk? Is this your life without the truth? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The Christian needs the girdle of truth. He needs this. He needs to put it on and wear it daily. So you don't want to wear it? You just want to walk in darkness? Well, here you go. Let's go to Solomon. No better guy to go to than that. Look what it says in 11 verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." There you go. Just go ahead. Have a great time. That's how you want to walk. If that's how you want to go ahead and do it, do it. What's the last of that rest of that verse? "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." You better watch it. You don't think it's necessary for you to read that book. You don't think it's necessary for you to be daily involved in that thing. What happens? You better be careful. You will be judged for it. Your walk and the way you conduct yourself, it'll start to show. Words will start to slip out. I'm not talking about a Christian who's trying and he gets mad and something kind of slips out. I'm not talking about that, right? I know that's not right, and I know he needs to get that right with the Lord, but I'm not talking about a Christian who's trying and he slips, right? But I'm talking about a Christian who's, he's just trying to walk and show everybody, hey, you know, oh, I'm good. No, you're not. You're not. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah 13, verse 7 says this, and I'm not going to read all of this here. There's kind of a length that goes in, but Jeremiah goes and he buries a girdle and he digs it back up. And in verse 7, "Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred and it was profitable for nothing." Verse 10, "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing." I hope that's not you. I hope that's not you. But you know what? A Christian, he needs to have stability in his walk. And you know, you look at stability. Look at stability. Look what it brings to a home. You know, you rewind and go look at a family where the home life, it wasn't very stable. Look what it brings, right? I know the kids grow old and they have to make their own decisions, but you can see that stuff. You can see what stability brings. I know what having a stable home meant for me, right? And look how I turned out. That's scary, right? But listen, stability brings great things. It brings great things, and you need to have stability in your walk. Two more things. I'm going to go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch, but I think for the first verse, but I think you'll see it kind of pulls through here once we get into the New Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Again, I understand this is a little bit of a stretch, so just bear with me, a little bit obscure. Chapter 6, verse 13, "And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, I understand that that girdle is a little bit different, but the word is in there, so I'm just going to use that. But I'm just going to say that a Christian needs stability in his worship. And through this book, a Christian can understand what worship is supposed to be. He can understand that what worship isn't. And a lot of there's a lot of people out there, and they think, well, I worship God this way, or I worship God my way, when God is saying, you're obviously not in that book. Because you would never say what you're saying if you were in this book. But there's a proper way to worship, and we're not going to get into that tonight, but a Christian needs stability in his worship. He needs dependability in his worship. In Psalms 138, Caleb hit this on Wednesday night, but in Psalm 138, verse 2, a great verse, look what David says. He says in 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindnesses and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. If you will, this is kind of where it really pulls through. If you will, go to John chapter 4. This is probably what all you guys are thinking. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23, it says this, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for this Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, there's certain ways to worship God. You can't worship God through the flesh. You can't do that. God does not receive worship that way. Which, I'm not going to call out, you know, Christian rock bands or anything, but it kind of gives you, you know, an idea. You know what I'm saying? Just, it's a work about the flesh. That's not how God receives worship. He's not receiving worship in spirit and in truth. What did Saul do? Remember, now Brother Dave mentioned this morning. Remember when Samuel caught Saul and he says, what is this then that I hear the bleating of the sheep? What's going on? And Saul tries to make this pretense, right? He tries to give this air of stability of worship that he has. And then he tells Samuel, he goes, okay, yeah, you're right, but let's go ahead and worship the Lord, right? And then Samuel says, whoa, wait a second. And he talks, he says, but what about this and what about this? And then what does Saul say? He says, well, let us go worship the Lord thy God. No, Saul, you missed the point. That's not it. And so many people, what do? You try, listen, it's not, let's go worship the Lord, let's not worship my wife's Lord, right? Or, well, that's my dad's thing. Like, so, well, you know, or that, you know, yeah, my girlfriend. No, it needs to be yours. It needs to be yours. It's, you see, it's something that when you're prepared to go into battle, you're not depending on another man's armor to keep you alive. What do? You sit there and you strap on and you kind of rip open that Velcro, right? And you put it on and you kind of suck in, you know, to kind of, and you clasp it over and you make sure it's tight and, you know, you're feeling good. You're like, okay, you know, and then you put that next piece on, right? It has to be yours. It can't be anybody else's. The book needs to be personal to you. It needs to become personal. Listen, Dr. Ruckman always said, the Bible creates individuals. And that's what it does. It creates an individual. It is supposed to be an individual relationship that you have with the book. And listen, you can only go on somebody else's fumes for so long. So you need to have stability in your worship. And then lastly, I'm going to go to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, verse 40, look what David says. He says, "For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast subdued under me." In Psalms 118, in Psalms 18, so I'm just going at this girdle of truth from the standpoint of it bringing stability. In Psalm 18, verse 39, look what it says. "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." You know what you need? You need stability in warfare. This obviously, you know, we sang some of those songs tonight, A Flag to Follow, right? Following Jesus Christ, that banner being lifted up. And so it's a spiritual warfare. And a Christian, because it is a spiritual warfare, he needs to have something to spiritually protect him. And without that spiritual protection, he's not going to make it through. And you need to have stability in your warfare. And in 2 Timothy, Paul exhorts Timothy in chapter 2. And he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Listen, don't allow the stability of your warfare to be sidetracked in something else, in an affair of this life. Don't be sidetracked by that. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, look what he says to Timothy. In 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou" what? "By them might" what? "War a good warfare." You know why you need to be in this book? Because you need to war a good warfare. You need to be familiar with your enemy. I'm not saying obsessed with him, but I'm saying you need to know about him. You need to be armed and ready, and you need to war a good warfare. You know, the soldiers, when they would get shell-shocked, you know what would happen? There were some of those commanders, at one point, the Americans, they decided to go, I think it was north, and they went to the Ardennes Forest, and the forest was so thick, and they said they wasted more time in the Ardennes Forest in World War II than any other place. And they lost countless men. But you know what they said? These men were in some of the coldest weather on the earth. And they were cold, and you know what they were starting to do? They were starting to crack. And they said that some of those commanders could spot it, and they could actually, if they could just get a guy back to the lines and just get him rested for a day or two and a hot meal, they said that actually fixed a lot of it. But these guys, they just couldn't handle the pressure, all the violence. They couldn't handle the cold and the fear of, is this next bomb that's going to go off, is that going to be it for me? What's going to happen? They said as a bomb would come, they would stop shivering. They just, and then when the bomb landed, okay, am I still alive? And they would go back to breathing, and they just start shaking again because they were so cold. But just the pressure of all of that. And listen, you know what? It's not a good warfare. And listen, you have in this book, you have something to protect you. And if you read it, it can be a shelter for you. In Psalm 144, verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord my strength, with teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." What? Warring a good warfare. Being in the book. Trying to prepare yourself. Not for this big dark enemy that's going to come in your house and kill you. No. Just everyday life. Yes, that might happen. And yes, the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I don't want to downplay it, but let's face it. A lot of time our problem isn't the devil, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, you go out and yeah, some people, they go out, the first step they take and wham, they're just hit with something. But a lot of times it's not that. It's just a little thing. And how have you treated this book? Is there any stability in your warfare? And the last verse is chapter 20. Psalms 20. Wrong verse. That's right. But listen, you know, you need to be able to war a good warfare. And a Christian has to have stability in his warfare. And so, listen, I appreciate stability. I do. What a place that I can always go back. I have a home, right? Stability, right? I have a church. I have a book. I have a wife, right? I appreciate stability. Stability means a lot to me. And when things are uncertain and unstable, I don't like it. I get uncomfortable. And it's too bad that God's people, it's too bad that we as Christians, what, aren't more stable in what we are supposed to do. So Paul says what? Having your loins girt about with truth. Look, you need to put that truth on. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you walk around with the truth. You're supposed to. Everywhere you go, everything you do. And so, yeah, as the world becomes more unstable, that it shouldn't affect us. As the world becomes more unstable, what should it be? That shouldn't faze us. Yes, we look around, and yeah, we may get worried about something, but what do we go back to? Something where we have stability. And so the question is tonight, are you wearing the girdle of truth? Are you prepared? Are you stable in some things? And if not, get it right with the Lord. Just get a little bit more stable. It doesn't take a lot, right? It's not like you got to go home and you got to read through all Chronicles. That's not what it is. It's just, hey, listen, okay, I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to read my Bible. Hey, I'm going to read a little bit of my Bible on my lunch. Hey, you know what? On the way to work, I'm just going to try to memorize this verse. It kind of hit me in my reading. Oh, I'm going to try to, it's just little things. And that'll prepare you for the big things. But listen, you need to gird on the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you.